Hey, this is Rob Ansbach, and welcome back to another eHeroes. Now, this is episode 101, and we're going to talk about reset. Now, I have Megan Halub, and she's just been all over. When I say all over, I mean the conversations that we're going to have today are going to help you reset your finances, your emotions, and your relationships. So you ready, Megan?
And I'm absolutely ready. Thanks for being here. I'm excited
that you're here because I think this is something that my audience needs. I think that everybody out there needs, well, not needs, but I think they're going to benefit from this conversation.
I hope so. There's so much happening. Everything's changing so quickly. And I think we're all trying to find our footing. And so any advice that we can get on how to move through this and transcend to, I think, a new reset, like you said, to a new level is valuable for all of us.
You know, I don't think any of us expected COVID. I don't think anybody really expected the pandemic to affect us the way it has. And we're, 6 months into it now. And, you know, there are still businesses that have not opened. There are businesses that are failing. And, you know, I think that I don't want to say empire, but you have enough fires out there simmering ideas that you know, you've been able to transition from one to the next to the next, and not everybody's able to do that. But I think that you had a you know, maybe some ideas that other people didn't.
Yeah. So for a long time, I've researched economies. Different changing economies, recessions, depressions. I was educated from a time when I was really young by my grandfather about gold being confiscated in the Depression. Mm-hmm. And so I was taught from a really young age from my grandfather that gold was true wealth, that the fiat dollar was a manipulation and was not, it was currency, it was not money. And so I had this education from a very young age that's kind of followed me through and allowed me to predict when other recessions were coming. So it was interesting, before COVID happened, I started warning people. I said, I'm getting some senses that the economy is shifting, you know, and I'm always a little early. And I actually posted this on a couple of different Facebook pages and I got accused of being Chicken Little. So, you know, what's funny is that my business is, I have a couple businesses, like you said, but my main one, which allowed me to travel around the world for the last 14 months, which is what you probably mean about me being everywhere before COVID struck, was the Love Institute. We are on month 6 of forced closure. And so we give couples massage classes. So we touch in groups. That's the main part of what we do. We're now allowed to do the in-home again. So that's been going on for a couple of months, which is nice. We're taking that online and we're, you know, expanding that. That's what you have to do. You have to pivot what you are doing. And particularly, I highly recommend people to take as much as they can online and create as many e-commerce, meaning like online e-sales, as possible. So, I've actually spent more money on education during this period than any other time in my life. And I consult people mm-hmm. into, you know, successful businesses. So immediately I dove into buying education. And one of those was to be a highly successful e-commerce sales division. But I saw some of this coming. And as I've said, and I think it's hard for people to believe, but it's true. I'm a very honest person. I had a call close to March 8th. I had already sensed something was coming. I'd heard a lot of CEOs were dropping out of companies like flies, major corporations. And, you know, now all of a sudden we're in March and COVID hits and, you know, the stock market collapses at the same time. And I had a phone call as well from a friend that is, you know, quite connected. And he just said, this is a financial reset. So hold on to your seatbelt. So it might be a shocking statement for a lot of people to hear, but it's the truth. And for me, I had a lot of people come into my life in my 20s. I was a celebrity massage therapist back then. So little old me with my little business, I happened to work with some of the most powerful people in the world. And they took me under their wing and they entrusted me with a lot of information. And I was actually told that, you know, at some point there would be a shift of the dollar. And that they would want ultimately to move it into a one world currency. And I was told this by very, very high level people that most of us, you know, don't know who those people are because they have too much money to be on the Forbes list, right? So I've kind of always been looking at things from this way. And what's so funny, Rob, is that I developed my company, what I thought was going to be bulletproof. So when we closed on March 8th, we owed no one any money. I didn't hold any leases. I built it out in a way, kind of like an Amazon structure. Mm-hmm. So we had a corporation in Nevada, and then we had limited liability all over the place. We should have been able to just reopen, but I did not. I never thought we would be put in a position where we had to stay 6 feet away from each other, not touch one another, and hide our faces. I never saw something like that coming. Did you see this coming?
I when they said 2 weeks, I thought, yeah, right. It's not going to be 2 weeks. They're going to try to push this as long as they can. And honestly, I think after about the four month mark, it started to affect me because I don't like wearing masks. I need to be able to see people. I need to be able to interact with people. And when I go outside, you know, I like to be able to talk to people. There's some people that say, I hate people. But you know, when I go to a mall, I like to watch people go by. I like to see how they're interacting with each other. You know, and if I see something going on and I want to know more, I'll go up to them. It's hard to do that when you have a mask on. Nobody wants to talk to you.
I've been really, when I go out of my way to mumble behind the mask, I'm smiling at you right now to people at the grocery store line, the checkers. I just think, what a horrible existence, particularly when they were our frontline defenders. And I have a lot I could say on that as well, but it's a whole different thing that we could talk about. But, you know, they're out there doing this, what I think is dirty work at that time, right? Exposing themselves. And, in the meantime.
Well, not only were they exposing themselves to maybe getting the virus, but they're also exposing themselves to all the chemicals that they're now using to clean up in between all the people that they're seeing. Yeah. And the toxicity level of their blood's probably off the charts at this point.
Yeah, it's interesting you should bring that up because I don't know that you know, but I lead a very clean lifestyle. I have to because of a genetic condition I have. So right away, you know, my doctor was like, you're going to get this. Don't leave the house, right? And I'm already employing all kinds of natural remedies, and I take care to boost my immune system because my system cannot process toxins out naturally. Mm-hmm. I eat a very clean diet, all of these things. And it's just really alarming to me. I think this is an important part of the conversation. Nobody is out there. Well, there are people that are out there, but I find, you know, with the activity I have on Facebook, they're blocked all the time. Yeah. So anybody that's telling you how to boost your immune system naturally, how to take care of yourself, these things are just completely missed over in conversation. All the parks were closed. My rooftop deck was closed for months and months, so I couldn't get fresh air. And I was basically just forced to hole up in my apartment with the filtered air. Yeah. And that's not healthy for anyone.
No.
So, people have had touch taken away from them. That's extremely important. Like I said, I've done a lot of research on this. There are some people that are mentally unwell without enough touch in their life, without enough human interaction. They can become physically unwell. People are designed very differently. For me, I can go quite some time without touch, and I have to choose in that engagement. But when, you know, I have a heightened level of understanding with it. So it's not something that's not enjoyable for me. I just need to choose. And this is, everybody has different personality types around it. There are other personality types, like I was telling you about the hedonist. They need this interaction every day, or they slowly crumble. They are unwell in every capacity without this. And you're talking about the masks. I'm the same way. So my genetic condition makes me a super sensor. I taste at a heightened level of engagement smell, and I can't have yucky fabrics on me. It just makes me feel like I'm claustrophobic. I don't like things on my feet. I don't like socks on my feet. Not very many people know this. Now everybody knows this. So I've broken the habit, but as a child, every picture of me was running around like with no clothes on, forgetting to take off the knee-high socks, right? Just get it off of me. So, these masks, I can't stand it. And then I think, what is this like for small children who are not getting social cues? we're already growing up in such an isolated environment with electronics, and we're all, you know, buried into them, and they have their positives and negatives, but social interaction is so important. And particularly with all the research I'm doing about touch and how so much of that starts in childhood, to be afraid of touching one another and have that kind of, you know, that out there, how long does this go on? How do these children develop under this? You know, if you're feeling an effect of it, what happens to these poor little kids that don't know the difference, frankly, in their formative years?
Right. And, you know, and then you become an entrepreneur, and you can't physically go out there and meet people. You can't handshake. You can't. And that starts to affect your psyche, that it starts to affect how you run your business. And then if you're told you can't open the business.
Oh, geez.
You know, a lot of these entrepreneurs are killing themselves because, you know, they're being prevented from earning a livelihood.
I think all the time. So, you know, I've had to build everything on my own, and I've had to develop things on my own. So I didn't have, like, let's say a family structure where it was a business passed down. I've never done where there's, you know, products on a shelf and those things might expire. I think about things differently. So I'm not going to tell you that I haven't had a heck of a time through this. I mean, I had to beg for money for 13 weeks because I'd never taken out unemployment in my entire life. Now I know my business is going to be closed for months. I knew. So I'm thinking, okay, well, I've paid into this my whole life. I should get it right. Nope. I've still only gotten 2/3 of it. I had to get on a TV show for it. In the meantime, I'm having to read these messages from these poor single mothers. You know, these business owners, they're losing everything. They're about to move into their cars, right? So in business, I often think about the mom and pop business that doesn't know how to pivot, that, you know, and I'm still hustling every day because I want to be ahead of the game. I want to be moving ahead of the game. And it's just a constant kind of barrage of pivoting. So these kinds of family-owned businesses are not going to survive through this because they don't have the skill set to do it. I mean, they're used to being able to follow the American dream. You know, they had a plan and they moved it through however many years, and they paid their debts off and they paid their mortgage off and they did whatever they did. And now there's nobody coming in to buy their goods after they were closed for 5 months. And I mean, don't get me started on the Band-Aid in between, the SBA loan.
Right.
So, I mean, I think people would be appalled at kind of understanding that ruse. We did finally all get it, but after billionaires got it, who were friends with particularly banks like, can I say the names?
Go ahead.
Chase Bank. Great example. I mean, just gave out millions.
Oh, I can't stand Chase. I mean, I have their credit card. I use it all the time. But, you know, I look at it and they refuse to give me a credit line increase, even though I pay off the card every single month.
Oh, it's gotten to the point. I have 1-0 balance credit card with them. And I immediately said, paying off all the credit, not giving them any excuse to mess with me. Paid down. This is a 0% balance. So I had 2 more years to pay it before it would affect me. Paid it down under 50%. They slashed the limit. Mm-hmm. Paid it off, they slashed the limit. Yeah. So that's the kind of dirty games that Chase is playing as they're keeping the small business owners only loan in the beginning. And there's a timeline to this. And you know, this is just my brain assessing. I'm not saying this is true. But, you know, Chase Bank, these banks are linked in with Federal Reserve, right? It's all the same banking families. I think people have a hard time understanding this. And Federal Reserve prints what is basically fake money. It has no backing. So they can control inflation, deflation. They can control what happens. There's all kinds of reasons why they would do this. You know, we need more money, whatever, you know, for war, for whatever. But, you know, at the end of the day, when these loans were given to these major corporations, let's just use, you know, I think the NBA, the Lakers is a great example. I have a friend that played for the Lakers, so I'm not hating on the Lakers, okay? It's not the players' fault. Right. They didn't do this. However, we need to understand like what is happening to us. So small businesses in the US are going to die. They're already buried under the weight of incredible legislation, incredible prices of mortgage and products as this inflation is going up because we don't have a gold standard. That's my opinion. And you know, it was perfectly timed. These corporations got to get all of this influx of free money right as the market was at the bottom. So I had money. I could have played into that market at that time, but I'm petrified because I don't know. My business is touch-based. How many months is it going to be before they open it? I'm not in this delusion of thinking it's a two-week vacation at this point. So they get the money invested in the stock market at low. You know, we dummies, we little small business owners get the money 45 days later after they get a pretend spank on the hand by people who are the same people, by the way. Treasury, Federal Reserve, Chase bankers. I think people aren't really getting that, right?
And a lot of times the stock market can be manipulated to, you know, and you know, I look at it, I'm like, okay, yeah, I have stock, but there's people out there going, well, I've done this, this, and this, and I just walked away with $10,000. I'm like, yeah, if I do that, I'm going to have someone knocking on my door going, you're under arrest.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a completely different set of rules. And what do you think about, what do you think about the stock market right now?
I just think that it's just a mess.
It is. It's dangerous.
You know, all the real estate stock market is junk because they, you know, they invested in things that people aren't going to be using in the next year. Yeah. All the entertainment stock is down. I don't understand. Disney stock is up, but their parks are closed. So,
I mean,
but like I said, it's a mess. It's a mess.
Yeah. I think, you know, people ended up putting those unemployment benefits into the stock market thinking that now they could be investors through these small apps. God bless them. You know, I hope they don't lose everything, but we're clearly in a bubble. A lot of these companies are bankrupt and solvent. And so we're just throwing money into companies that have no valuation. They're not worth anything other than the overinflated stocks that people are buying. It's a crazy time. So I don't know if you saw that Warren Buffett just invested a bunch of his money that he pulled out of his long hold stocks. He's always been a long hold stock guy. He doesn't play the stock market. He puts a ton in and he holds it there forever. Yeah. He pulled all of his money out very early on, like a lot of it. So he pulled all out of all these areas that other people were investing their small money in. And he's held it for a while. And recently he went back and put it into gold mines. Have you heard this?
I did. You know,
I never believed in gold.
I was always the big believer that you buy stock, you hold on to it and, you know, let it reinvest itself. And if it pays dividends, great. But all the new investors are like, nope, you buy, you sell, you buy this, you quick sell that. And they're all in it for the fast buck.
I mean, it's a dangerous model right now. It's like what you put in, you have to skim the cream off the top and get it out quick before it does a quick deflate or a quick pop. Mm-hmm. But I mean, how long can overvalued stocks hang up in the stratosphere? Right. So, you know, I have a company, Gold Standard Company. Mm-hmm. www.goldstandardco.com. And this is actually something I was invited in after this happened. And I really, you know, I don't know if you're a spiritual person, but I am. And I really felt like my whole life had come to this point. So I've always been a gold bug. Again, starting with my grandpa. And to be invited into this, it's the best quality. And we offer like very small pieces. We offer what's called grain bars and things so people can afford to get into it. And the idea of it is if there is a dollar collapse, meaning that there's a shift over of currency, which a lot of people believe is happening right now, then these little pieces, you get to actually buy a loaf of bread and some milk instead of having a huge bar. When I say huge, it's so funny. People don't realize that this bar, size bar, like a credit card, a fat credit card right now, I haven't checked the prices, but it's probably $14,000 right now.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's
you know, and the nice thing about gold and any precious metal is that you touch it. And we're going back to the touch point, but you feel it's something of substance, you know, and I think it also, you know, when you're touching it, it grounds you. You feel like, you know, you're controlling something.
Yeah, it's so heavy. I know in your hand, it's really kind of awing when you get these different metals of any kind in your hand. They're so heavy. And yeah, I think, you know, the newer generations, and you watch it happening, people just start to believe that things that don't exist and are created out of air and say that they have value now have value. Right. And I just don't believe it. I don't believe it. And we've been led to believe that because we've been told for so long that the dollar has value. And so we've traded it as if it has value. And, you know, it's been backed by oil. It's been backed by war. It's been backed, you know, by things that have kept its value, perceived value in a place. It's been the currency of currencies. But what's interesting to me is that, you know, I really think that there's a play going on right now for collapsing this in order to have more of a global control. Mm-hmm. So we have two ways that we can go right now. We can go back to a gold standard, which was mean. I think people don't understand. For hundreds of years, when gold was being spent, everything cost the same.
Right.
We're so used to inflation. You know, my mom was a single mom working at a grocery store in 1980, and she was able to buy herself a two-bedroom house with a garage on it and had a new truck. Mm-hmm. I'm out building corporations, and sometimes that sounds like a dream life. Yeah. To be able to own all of that? Really?
You know, right? I found some old currency that I used to collect when I was a kid, and it was an old $5 bill. And they were huge at the time, you know, cool. 1914. But on the very bottom, it says that it can be redeemed for gold.
Right.
Now, none of them are
certificate. Yeah, it's supposed to represent the gold that it backs. There's still only a swimming pool amount of gold in the world. So people say, well, why does this have value and Bitcoin doesn't have value? I'm not trying to, the last thing I'm going to do is throw Bitcoin under the bus. But as a comparison, it's the one that keeps coming up. Yeah. Gold has value because it has to be mined. It's precious, meaning there's only so much of it. And it really has to be physically mined. It's a real thing that has to be mined. So we can use these terms in other ways, but it's not, it's still sort of a made up thing, right?
Yeah, to me, it's Bitcoin can still be manipulated. And,
of course, you know, this is what I've been saying from the beginning. And people look at me like I have two heads. Of course it can. So I don't know if you know, but I lived in Silicon Valley in like 2011-12. And there's a little place called the Wine Room. If you ever can go, please go. Sit at the bar and talk to the nerdiest looking guy there. And you will have the coolest people on this show. So, you know, I got to sit next to the highest level startup people, the NASA, whatever. Mm-hmm. Our big joke that like engineers there were so boring that they were like the garbage man. Like nobody cared about their degrees. So in 2012, I believe, I was given a hot tip on Bitcoin. And, you know, the man, he said, you need to buy this. It's very low. It's going to be very high. And I said, it makes no sense. And he said, I know. I said, why do you want me to buy it? I said, because he said, this is looked at as the anti-dollar. A lot of people are going to sign on to this. It's like an anti-Federal Reserve. And I said, that makes no sense. And, you know, I said, that's BS, basically. I said, essentially, it can be manipulated the same way as the dollar. This is something that's actually easier to manipulate than the dollar, because now you don't have to print it on paper. You know, you can just wipe it off a computer screen. He said, well, you know, the security, the safety, whatever. I looked at him. I said, you know, this is SHIT. And he said, you're a very smart woman.
If you lose your passwords or whatnot, you lost all your money.
Yeah. Yeah. He said, you're very smart, but they're going to make sure that this is huge and you need to buy it. That's what he said. I mean, I could have been so rich, right? But I was stubborn, you know? I mean, it doesn't feel right to me to sell people and buy and sell something that has no value.
And I think it all comes down to that. It has to feel right. And I think that we're all in this situation right now with this pandemic where nothing feels right. And we're all yearning for that and I hate to say it's that normal, but it was that normal for each individual that was living in at the time prior to the pandemic. And now we're all forced to pivot and we don't know what direction, because nothing feels right.
Nothing feels safe.
Right.
Nothing feels safe. Yeah. I mean, for the first time in my life, I'm buying land. You know, I've definitely put money into precious metals. I mean, there's so few safety nets right now. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm empathic, so I'm always worried about everyone else. But I'm, it's like, you know what? It's sink or swim time. I keep telling people, but you know, people, they do want to return to normal so badly that they'll tell you that you're being negative when in fact, you're just trying to throw them a life raft because they don't see the tidal wave coming. Right. They don't know the Titanic's going under. And so, you know, you become the bearer of bad news, and I get it. You know, we all want some good news. The good news in my mind is that gold has always been, gold and silver, silver's still, you know, quite affordable. It has always been a safety net and a security. So we don't know what's happening next with the stock market. We don't know if the government's switching over into a digital currency. I'm certain they're trying very hard to. We don't know which one. Bitcoin was the first, but it's not the best.
Yeah, I think it's going to be something that, you know, they try to make it uniquely their own.
There's actually a lot of really interesting research about Ripple. What's interesting is like everyone is divided. Like they think Bitcoin's for the people, but you know, Ripple, and I'm like, listen, any cryptocurrency is going to be something that's great for the Federal Reserve and the bankers. Are you kidding?
Right.
And don't step out of line. Your money's erased off of a screen.
I think social, I'm not social. I think, any of those cryptocurrencies scare the government because there's no way for them to tax it.
Oh, I mean, I imagine if they start their own, I think that they're just leveraging to do their own, right? So mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not going to use one that's already been right. established as an anti-currency. But, right?
You know, I think that our dependence on social media right now is what's causing the devastation of society. I yeah, granted, you know, without social media, I wouldn't be able to do what I do.
Same.
But I think that it helps spread the fear and panic faster. And I think that people are so in tune with social, they're tuned to their phones and whatnot first before they turn, you know, to their advisors. And, yeah. You know, if someone says on social, oh, you better pull your money out of the bank. There's a mad rush on the banks. Now the banks don't want to open.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm actually having, you know, off record legal advice to pull my money out of the banks. Mm-hmm. So yeah, however, I don't think very few people listen to me. So I'm not going to start a mad rush on the banks.
Right.
You know, I'm hoping that just the people around me that have seen me predict economies over and over again in particular orders will say, okay, well, maybe I'll take a little bit out and protect myself and at least just protect it in gold and silver. And whether it's from me or someone else that's a reputable source, please watch. Please do not buy from China right now. That's all I'm saying. They've been caught defrauding. They've created tons, literal tons of fake gold at this point.
Well, not only fake gold, but fake products, fake food. You know, they've been trying to poison us, you know, financially, physically, and beyond that for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just seems like they get their hands slapped and they just keep on doing it.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, we can blame that on China, but we have people right here in our home country that seem hell-bent on destroying us, frankly. I mean, big pharma is linked in with, you know, the food, with GMO. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've got these seeds outlawed. We have some places where you can't grow a garden in your own yard. These things all start to be linked together. I remember there was a friend of mine who's very intelligent. He really jumped on the anti-coconut oil thing for a minute. He really just, you know, and he had an emotional connection to it. His wife was in late stage cancer. She ended up dying. And she thought that things like coconut oil were going to heal her. So he had a hatred of this. So he grabbed onto that whole initiative of coconut oil is bad for you, X, Y, and Z. And I went to him and I said, love, please look at who did this. Who did this research? They're big pharma. You know, you sound silly. Coconut oil is not hurting anyone. It's great. It's antifungal, it's antibacterial, it's healthy for you, it's a healthy fat. So people will grab on to whatever headline emotionally appeals to them. And right now, people are so invested. I mean, there are a lot of people that are waking up to the fact that we've all been tricked
yeah.
for a long, long time. And it's very scary it's scary. So I had a slow awakening of this, like I said, because of the clients I had. So, but even I, some days I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe it's really here. And, you know, for other people awakening to different levels of this, they think they're going crazy. You know, there's a lot of anxiety. There's all kinds of, you know, of not great feelings that come about when you figure out that everything you were taught was potentially a lie. And what do you do with that? So, you know, we've covered a lot of topics right now, but how do we move through that? It's funny because in my mind, and everybody has a different way, but it all comes back into connecting to the source of what's real. And, you know, now more than ever, we have to understand that we have to know the difference between real and what isn't real. What's around us and what is valuable. Connections with people and community are valuable. I think, you know, meditation or prayer, whatever your connection is with your spiritual center and the voice that so many people have disconnected from is crucial. Whole foods, those are your nutrients, right? I'm growing a tiny little, you know, strip of garden in my window in my apartment over the Hudson, right? You can do it. I planted 35 little lettuces and everybody laughed at me. Why so many? I said, because I don't have a green thumb. So I'm just, you know, it's the odds. It's just the averages. And it worked out great. And so I have fresh lettuce every day. And I have, you know, maybe two tomatoes that are growing. So that's not so great. Yeah. But there's always a way to add more, you know, more healthy lifestyle. We haven't been taught to detox in this nation ever. So we're constantly bombarded with toxins. You know, I've done a lot of research off of just 4G, much less 5G. It's extremely toxic for all of us, and not all of us can process it out of our system. The food that we're eating, you know, we've covered that. It's not healthy. It's from stripped soil. Try to buy from your local markets. Try to support them. Those are your local business owners now, those small farmers. Farm what you can. Grow some lettuces in your window. Why not? It's not hard. You just put some seeds in cups and put some water in them. They're generous to you. They give you life. You know, try not to eat. Try to eat, you know, if you're going to have meat in your diet, make sure it's pasture, you know, pasture raised and farm raised. Same with the eggs. And we don't have to eat so much. And at the end of the day, you know, my opinion is stay away from grains. Try to keep grains out of your diet. Stay away from processed sugars. This is the stuff that's making people's chemical imbalances off. They're not able to detox, you know, the way that they need. And it's really, it's adding the inflammation on, you know, all of those things that is causing so many issues. I know because I deal with like genetics where clearly I struggle with all of those things, even when I have a really supremely healthy diet. So I am kind of an extreme example of what those things do to us. But this is for everyone, you know, the more clean that we eat. But honestly, yeah, when it comes to the lack of touch, this is the lack of interaction. We need to, I think people are getting used to keeping separate from each other, even when they don't want to. It's almost like now they're having anxiety or depression, so they don't want to be around their friends. It's becoming a perpetuating cycle. So we really need to support one another, to be in communities, to, you know, try to crack a few jokes and laugh and talk about something else if possible at all. And we can set ground rules. You know, we can say, let's talk about the bad stuff for 10 minutes and then let's let it go. Let's talk about the good stuff now. Let's say what we're grateful for. Let's make each other laugh. I think we have to make an effort to do this right now because this is not easy stuff for most people.
No.
What are you doing right now, Rob? Like, what are you doing to get yourself, you know, back into center or connect with other people? Anything?
I write books. I've become more sarcastic, you know, and you know, I guess it's not healthy for some people, but you know, I had so many vacations scheduled over this summer. And only we were able to take two of them. Had to cancel a bunch of them. I was going to take the kids down to Disney World. Canceled. Because the kids don't want to wear masks in 100-degree heat.
Oh, God. I don't want to wear masks in 100 degrees.
We went to the beach for a week down in Rehoboth Beach in Delaware, and the one beach that we stay at, you didn't have to wear masks. The beach a mile away, you had to wear masks.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we stayed in our little area because, you know, I'm not doing that. And then we went up to the mountains for a week with the extended family, and it was just great. We got away, fresh air, no Wi-Fi. And it was just nice to decompress and not think about things for a while.
I bet. There's land I'm purchasing. I can't wait to get on it and just be around the animals and be left alone.
What I'm experiencing, though, is that so many people now have been wearing masks for so long that when they say that this virus is no longer around, they're going to still wear masks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think, you know, I'm a very, very honest person and I don't really care too much about what other people think of me. So I think it's only fair to say I got COVID very early on.
Yeah. Well, I got it in November, and they said, oh no, it didn't hit till January. I was over in Silicon Valley in November in San Francisco area. And when I came back, I was sick for like 3 weeks.
Yeah. I had a lot of friends that feel like they got it at that time. Friends that, you know, they just keep standing, you know, really powerful entrepreneurial spirits that do not sit down, and they all got taken out. But what was really scary about what I got. So here's the thing. I knew that I would get it very, very easily because of my immune condition. My body is, we like to say that, my immune system is, a party and everyone's invited. So I knew very early on that COVID was airborne. I knew that masks didn't help. Now I'm going to tell you how I know all this. Nobody was listening to me. I also knew that it affected the brain and the nervous system earlier than anyone else. So I was able to start putting some dots together really, really early because I got brutalized with a version of it that felt like it was electrocuting me in my sacrum all the way down my legs for 5 days straight. And it disconnected my olfactory, which they talk about loss of smell, but you have cognitive dissonance about that until it's actually happened to you. So for me, I do have such a health routine that I know I can feel when different parts of my brain are being affected. So I couldn't feel my fingers on the keyboard. I felt like I was going to have a seizure for a full day. And I went through a point in my life where I had seizures. So I know what that feels like. It was frightening. Total anxiety for weeks. I still have residual lack of smell and anxiety. Mm-hmm. So I had none of this before. You have to process through it, but it was unbelievable because it didn't attack me in the places that you would expect. And yet no one believed that I had it. Finally, I got the test. I knew there was nothing else like this in the world. Mm-hmm. Honestly, to me and everyone that I talk to, nobody feels that has had the version that I had, that this is a natural virus. Like none of us feel that it's natural. And I'm sure that's a controversial statement, but it's my body. I've had I had chicken pox twice, and I had measles when that didn't exist anymore.
I had the shingles a couple everything. Years ago.
Shingles are
awful.
This is what I kind of wonder if this is what it felt like, was an intense shingles attack combined with, you know, just having different parts of it's. There are people that talk about this, doctors that of course have been banned everywhere, that very early on were saying this attacks your brain like rabies and starts dismantling different areas and you get it back, right? But when it's happening, it's horrific. So for me, I left the house, and I'm not exaggerating, 4 times. My doctor said, do not leave the house. You're going to get this. We didn't know what it was yet. I knew I wasn't going to die from it. Nothing kills me. I'm like, you know, I get everything and I nearly die and I come back, you know? So I had to leave. I moved into my place on March 8th. I'd been traveling around the world and everything was packed away. I had no hand sanitizer. I had no liquids of any kind. I had no food, nothing. So I had to go across the street to Whole Foods, across the parking lot, no one around me, 2 masks, 2. So medical mask and a filter over that I have on hand for mold, gloves on my hands, fully covered, touched no one, wiped everything down, came back in my home, stripped my clothes off behind the door, put them in the washing machine, I was sick by early April. Four times I left my house. So I knew very early on this was airborne and everybody was going to get it. Mm-hmm. Also, my symptoms before all of that, I'm tired. I didn't notice I couldn't smell. I made excuses for it. Oh, the coffee's a little weak. You know, why can't I smell that? That's strange. You know, what's happening? But you're so busy with so many other things you don't notice. I mean, the world's falling down around you. You don't know if your business is going to start back up again. So, you know, my point is that masks are not helping us.
No.
I'm proof of that. But what it is doing is creating so much division between people. And like I said, children, the way this is affecting children, I don't know if you saw the video of the mother with seven children being kicked off of a plane because the two-year-old wouldn't wear a mask.
No, I didn't see that.
I mean, now that it's in media, they'll, you know, potentially compensate her. But if media hadn't caught it, she's out a mother, you know, for a ticket for seven kids. How is that okay?
Yeah, and here's the problem is that, you know, doctors wear a mask only, you know, to see a patient or to perform a surgery, and then they dispose of that mask.
Right.
You know, but the average person takes the mask, wears it for 8 hours, throws it in their pocket or on top of their desk, and they use it again and again and again and again. You know, and then they wonder why they have a rash on their face or they're sick.
Yeah, I try to just avoid people as much as possible so I don't have to do it. But when I was, you know, having to wear them every day, I just had like breakouts all along my skin that just would not go away. And I'm not someone that gets breakouts. Yeah. It's just, it's unsanitary and you clean them as much as you can. Or you end up wearing the flimsy little, you know, doctor's mask. I mean, how is that helping? It's not helping.
But I think that there's so much fear. People, you know, early on, people were so afraid of dying. And I said, you know, people die every day. People die in car accidents. They die of smoking. And you're worried about dying from this?
The chances of
dying from this are so small. But it was that fear. And, you know, if you can reset your brain and think, okay, well, now look at the world. Nobody's dying from car accidents. Nobody's dying from over. COVID replaced everything.
You know, I want to touch on this because I think that there is a positive turn into what you're saying as well. We are so far away from the ritual of death that other cultures have had, where we understand that it's just a passage of, right, that there's a particular destiny. I myself have come back from dying. I have made that choice. It was difficult. It took me 8 hours to come back after a very serious car accident. Wow. I've been there. I've experienced it. And you can choose to come back if you want to, but let me tell you, it feels really good to go over that way. I came back because I wanted to help people. So this is the whole thing, is there's this horrible, you know, we represent death as if it's this awful tragedy. And as if that's the end, it's lights out. And I think people would sell their souls and do all kinds of crazy things to stay here until their bodies are just falling apart and full of pain and disease rather than die. And, you know, it's just, we're fundamentally so far away from a process that actually is natural as being birthed, right? Yeah. So we're born and we die, and there's a cycle to that. And again, that's getting away from the spiritual center of ourself. And we have been so far away from that. There's so many amazing things about, you know, the United States of America. It is the land of the free and the home of the brave. That's what it's supposed to be. We are supposed to build businesses and create prosperity out of nothing. And I'm an example of that happening. Mm-hmm. And you know, but what was always missing for me was ritual. It is such a beautiful melting pot, but there was no ritual. There's no explanation of birth and death and celebration of these things. And I think we all become kind of disassociated from whatever the core ritual is of the history of our people, whatever those may be. And then we kind of become this melting pot that loses its own traditions that actually are sacred. And instead, we just become influenced by media and by what to buy next. How do we look pretty? How do we smell good? How do people like us? Buy, 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 buy. And that's kind of in some ways become our religion, our spirituality is just buying stuff.
Yeah.
You know? A lot of this, I think a lot of what we're coming, what we're talking about that we both are in agreement of being a negative is the manipulation of media. And, you know, I'm going to say this because I have permission, and this is a very powerful thing to say. And when I say this, all of a sudden I get, you know, comments from Facebook every day, 12 times a day that I'm saying spam things like, I love it. That's spam. So, so it's clear that somebody doesn't like me saying this, but it's the truth. So one of my clients was William Randolph Hearst, the grandson. Mm-hmm. And he educated me for two long days. And he explained to me that the Hearst family, who everybody knows used to own the majority of the media, still own it. So they divided up the corporations, put it under different divisions, put people at the top so that you can't trace that back. This is very controversial what I'm about to say, but this is the truth. So what are you going to do? He essentially said that the sole purpose has always been to just divide the people and to manipulate them through mind control tactics. And that has always been the purpose. This is seeped into other institutions. I'm not going to get into it because it'll just make people upset. Or now we're potentially verging on them getting the conspiracy label flag over me, even though all I'm doing is relaying information I've been given from someone else. So this was long before I had internet access. You know, I was just in my 20s, a massage therapist. But you know, he explained that media is tightly controlled by families above them. And, you know, government's pretty low on that list. I think people give a lot of power to like what a president is doing. For example, typically a president is kind of stuck in a wheel of puppetry. They're not the big fish on the totem pole. So, you know, there's a lot of people pulling different strings, and media, according to Hearst, has to stay in line or they get in trouble. And, you know, he said, and I'm a channel flipper. So I'm someone like the last presidential election, I flipped through every single channel just to see what the consensus was. And it was so crazy. It's like one channel is saying they're already celebrating the win, and another channel is saying, oh, there's still hope. There's still chance 2 hours later when everybody knows that Trump won. Right.
Yes.
So I always flip around through everything, trying to get an overview. Mostly I just don't believe anything they say, and I just do my own research.
Yeah, and I think that's, we need to reset our brains to not look and think about what the media is doing, because, you know, I look at the media right now, and, you know, whether you like Trump or hate Trump, you know, the media right now, over the last 3 years or 4 years has done nothing but try to get Trump out.
And yeah,
they never did that to Obama or any other presidency, and the reason why is because they're afraid of what he can do.
Yeah, having this kind of education from Hearst, I look at the media very differently. And if the media is bent on attacking someone, then that someone is most likely fulfilling, you know, they are not a part of an agenda that the media is a part of. And I'm not going to dive into what that is, according to Hearst, but it is not pretty.
Right.
It's not a pretty agenda that's linked in there. So my ears always perk when they want to demonize someone. And, you know, you think that there are exceptions, like let's say Weinstein, when they finally jumped on that. But the thing is Weinstein was just a fall guy for a whole other level of debauchery. So he was just kind of, and I knew about Weinstein. I lived in Beverly Hills, and he used to pay people in envelopes full of cash with 666 written on it, allegedly from people he paid that I know in Hollywood. So everybody knew about Weinstein. I'm not even that linked into Hollywood, and I knew about this guy. So, you know, whenever you see anybody kissy kissy in pictures of Weinstein, you need to understand that they knew what this man was doing. They knew.
And he's not the first. There was people before him that did the same thing.
Oh, there's so many. And again, he's just the tip of the iceberg. So, you know, it's just a process of throw him out there.
How do people get a hold of you? I know that you shared your gold standard website. But how do they get a hold of you? Where do they go?
I think, you know, the safest email for me right now is Megan Hola. So MEAGANHOLUB at theloveinstitute.com.
There you go.
And you can just send me.
And we went a little further over our time. But, you know, there was a lot of great information here. And I hope that the listeners, you know, benefited from this because, you know, normally I keep these about 25 minutes, you know, a little over. We went a little over that, maybe double the time. But, you know, there's just a lot of great information. And we could probably do three more of these and still not crack all the information that I think you guys need to know. So, you know, please reach out to Megan. And this is why she's an e-hero, because, you know, she's created businesses. She's had businesses taken away, basically. I mean, she can't run them. But then she started other businesses so that she can have income coming in. And, you know, just because you know people in Hollywood doesn't prevent you from, you know, having your business taken away. So, you know, learn to reset your mind, learn to reset your finances, and try to strengthen your business so, you know, this pandemic doesn't take you out.
Yeah, we have to stay high vibe. There is a reset happening, and I think that we can choose where this reset goes. So we have to get back into real values and get back into, you know, our spirituality, the core of our humanity, and don't let the fear take over. That is an illusion, ultimately. It's a trick. So we can't buy into it.
Great words of wisdom. So we'll see you on the next episode. See ya.
Thanks for letting me be here. It was so nice chatting with you. So fun.